Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency? Call the plumbing professionals available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911.
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris with Mark Grody bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got 5 on. Number 1.
Speaking of number ones, what should be the Cubs' number one priority this offseason?
More hitting. Who called us earlier and said that they should get more velocity pitching and that they should trade somebody who hits to do it? I appreciate your efforts and your thought, but that is not the problem here. They had 4 hits in the loss to the Brewers. They did the exact opposite of what Milwaukee did. 2 out hits are not a plenty for the Cubs, and it's a problem. I need more hitters. I need actual hitters. And I'm sorry, but you have to address something with third base because that position has to provide more offense. Does that mean you give Matt Shaw more chances? Do you work with him in the offseason? I don't know, because that guy's here for years. So I just need more people to hit more. It's going to be tough. You might have to make some really tough decisions about what you need to do. Because if Pico Armstrong can't adjust to the league adjusting to him, that's a big problem too. Like, there are some really tough discussions you might have to have. But if you want a prayer of making it out of the NLDS the next year, and you absolutely should, you're going to have to invest in the thing that is expensive. And that is knowing dudes who can hit the ball. And you need more of them than you think. And this is a good year to prove that that is definitely the case.
So I'm with you, Layla, specifically because I know that they need to have a different approach at the plate, whether it's the current hitters or if you're talking about replacing some of the lineup with different types of hitters. I'm with you on that. That being said, I do think they need arms, specifically high-powered velocity arms that can do the things that Jacob Mizorowski was able to do, that can do the things that the Padres pitchers
were
able to do.
You need a Miz, yes, yeah.
You need...
Or a Mason Miller. You need one of those.
And
we all?
The good news, though, is that they have Cade Horton coming back, that they have Justin Steele, who's slated to come back. And so the rotation itself looks like it's going to be upgraded just by getting those guys back. And I'm not saying I don't trust the arms that they had do amazing things out of the bullpen. The guys that they got off the proverbial scrap heap, when you look at everyone from Drew Pomerantz on down, because some of those guys were out of pitching in the major leagues before this year. But to think that you could take those same guys and run it back the same way, I think that is a fool's errand. You need more high-velocity stuff. But to your point, Layla, the hitting is right there with those high-velocity arms. It's just a matter of, okay, you got really good defensive players, but you don't have guys who have enough contact as opposed to the swing and miss. Remember, the Cubs hit more home runs, 12 in the postseason, than anybody else at this point. It didn't make a difference in the end because they couldn't get guys on base just by way of the regular old hit.
Right, so we're at a point where I'm team offense in terms of what they need to add, but now we're at a point where, what do you believe about the Cubs season? Do you believe that all that power that they had in the first half of the season is real? I mean, we were talking about Dansby Swanson slugging the ball for a while. Remember when he got moved down in the lineup and he finally started to hit? So I'm going to get even a little bit more specific when we talk about hard questions. Matt Shaw, absolutely, Layla. I love that. I wasn't thinking PCA, but we do have to think.
Oh, no, you have. I mean, that can't continue like
that
this.
Can't continue.
There has to be adjustments made.
And I'm sorry, Ian Happ, I mean, the three-time Gold Glove Award winner. We all love Ian Happ. He's the longest tenured Cub. But can you handle that streakiness throughout a season where he's just gone for, it feels like, weeks at a time until he does what he did in one of the games and he blasts the three-run homer? Where was he? Do we have to think about that? And then I would still consider bringing back Kyle Tucker, but if you don't, you need to get creative
in terms of DH had better rake.
Right.
I was going to use a swear word in there, and you know what it is.
And I like Owen Casey, but I am not ready to just say, yep, on this big market team, which got a win away from going to the NLCS, yeah, Owen Casey, just throw him in there. So do something, even if it is the Schwarb. And we joked about that a little bit earlier, but who knows? Who knows?
Here's the issue, too, and this is more of a segment rather than five on it. It is about timing slumps. It is about having enough hitting to where when you know you've got a hitter like an Ian Happ, for example, that somebody else theoretically should also be hitting at that time. And that's where this issue happened. Is everybody slumped at the same time, and it was brutal.
If you told me today that they could take the money that might have been slated towards Kyle Tucker and find a way to get a shorter deal for Kyle Schwarber and to sign Alex Bregman, who wouldn't sign up for that? Those two guys added. And then you'd say, hey, Craig Counsell, we know you had crap for depth last year. Now you get to figure out who to play where every single day. And you've got Bregman and you've got Kyle Schwarber as your two additions. That lineup looks very different with those two guys.
You know the phrase girl math? You just did some Cubs front office girl math there, because there's those two for some sort of discount. Play the next question.
Wait, no.
There's not going to be a discount.
Discount, but Kyle Tucker money was going to be $400 million.
There's not going to be those cute short year deals.
Look at me. How about next year's the 10th anniversary of 2016? Schwarber.
I know timing-wise, this isn't ideal. Next question.
Number two.
Will Kyle Tucker get booed the next time he appears at Wrigley Field?
Yes. Absolutely, because he won't be in a Cubs uniform. So he'll be booed. He'll be applauded the little, you know,
smattering of applause.
Video board thing, and then booed from there on out.
Oh, can you include in your answer? Maybe that should also be a part of this question. Will there be a video tribute?
Yes, absolutely.
A video
tribute.
Like, thanks for when you weren't injured, like April and May were hot.
That's why, Marshall, because what would you put in it?
The only way to put in it.
June was good, too. Yeah, being tacky. Stop.
Here's the answer
thanks
to the question.
Thanks for 3 hot months. Bow-chicka-bow.
If he goes to a team in the division, he will be booed loudly, which I can't see.
He can't go to a team in the division. They ain't got no money.
I don't think that would happen, but I'm just saying that's all. He'll get a smattering. It'll be just a smattering of boos. Uninspired booing. I don't think people, because honestly, like, once fans have a chance to get away from the season a little bit, I'm not saying that any of them are going to change their minds if they lost faith in bringing Kyle Tucker back. But when you look at the whole season as a whole, he was terrific in the first half, and there was a correlation with him getting injured and the production that went down.
Yeah. I'm frustrated about the offense because he got hurt.
Yeah.
I don't like, I said it before, I can like a person and not like the decisions they make. You can do that. I didn't like how he handled his hand.
No, neither did
I. I thought that was...
It was brutal.
It didn't end well for anybody involved, unfortunately. And I understand he wanted to play. But, like, I don't want to be in that kind of limbo with somebody like that. You know, that's the issue with it. Like, you want to be able to understand when a player's hurt and when they're not, and how that's going to affect him. And maybe it's because it was a contract year that happened, but maybe. I think that soured a lot of people.
I agree. No, I thought the Cubs handled it poorly. Kyle Tucker handled it poorly. And I've been railing on athletes for years that you're not doing anything to impress anyone by playing injured.
Number three.
This is 5 on It on 670 The Score with Raheem Harris and Grody, and you're listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Game Day presented by your local Ford dealers and Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. The spotlight will be on Bears quarterback Caleb Williams and cornerback Tyreek Stevenson during tonight's game against the Commanders. Apart from the Williams-Stevenson duo, which player needs to have a big game to assure a win at Washington?
Welcome back, TJ Edwards. Welcome back. You can make this Bears run defense look a heck of a lot different than what we have seen so far. He has a nose for the ball. He knows where the action is. He plays disruptive football. I have a feeling that he could help the team a lot when it comes to preventing the secondary from tackling Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. So, TJ Edwards, welcome back. You're my guy.
Welcome back, DeAndre Swift from the bye. DeAndre Swift had a week off. Let's make it count. And I'm not saying, you know, he's going to have a big week. It's not going to be solely because of him. But if that offensive line, hello, Theo Benedet, holds up the way I'm envisioning it to hold up, I think DeAndre Swift has a day in which he has over 110 yards in receiving and rushing yards combined.
What was the question again?
The question is, other
than...
favorite
producer?
Yeah. Other than Caleb Williams and cornerback Tyreek Stevenson, which Bears player needs to have a big game to ensure a win Washington?
Thank
Grody,
you.
Bears?
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I am going to go KG. Kyler Gordon, ladies
Kevin
and gentlemen.
Garnett? Amazing.
KG. No, not Kevin Garnett. The real KG.
Okay, Andy Roddick.
The real KG. I see you, Kyler Gordon. I see you.
Anything is possible, would you say that?
Anything is possible with Kyler. I do think it's kind of funny how we're, and I'm guilty of this too, that we're all expecting lights, camera, action from Kyler Gordon because Dennis Allen told us so, that he's going to do everything. I don't think it's going to come that quickly, but you cannot underestimate. You talked about TJ Edwards, and he is a tackles machine. Guess who else has decided to be a very physical player in his life? Kyler Gordon likes to lay it out a little bit, too, in the run game. Get his nose up there. I think he will have an effect. Of course he's going to have an effect on the passing game, but I also think he's going to have about 5 or 6 tackles tonight.
He's in on a turnover tonight. Write that down.
Write that down, Robbie. Go ahead.
Ooh, you're building your parlay.
Either an interception, a fumble recovery, or a forced fumble.
Like
one of those. Check it out.
Like it. Like it when you say stuff like that.
Number four.
Who has the better game tonight? Kyler Gordon, TJ Edwards, or Tyreek Stevenson?
Okay, so I know I said TJ Edwards is my guy.
KG.
Or most productive. Like, I expect him to be the one to come back and do the most. So for me, I am sticking with that same edict. I think it's got to be TJ Edwards. I believe that because it has to be. I'm saying that because I know what his healthy potential is when he's playing. He wrecks shop. I think about all the times where it felt like the Bears might have been in quit mode last year, and that was not the case for TJ Edwards. I felt like last season he did the most when it didn't even matter. And so for that reason, especially since somebody has to step up in this run defense, I feel like, again, TJ Edwards is the guy. This is the TJ Edwards welcome back segment for me.
Kyler Gordon probably not going to get enough snaps to be in the same category with the other two guys, but Tyreek Stevenson, this is about redemption, man. This is about a chance to tell your kids something different. And be like, yeah, I had a rough night that one time at Washington, but did you see what I did the year after? It's about getting back up 8 times after falling down 7 because you were down to start with. That's why the 8/7 makes sense.
From Chinese proverb, ladies and gentlemen.
And logical standpoint. Yeah. So it's Tyreek Stevenson because he has to. He's been trending in the right direction. He's got 2 weeks. He knows that everyone will have their eyes on him if they're not watching Bills and Falcons as far as this game goes.
Man, who's watching? Like, I was the one who watched the random Falcons and Commanders game a couple weeks ago.
Honestly,
I was the one who's watching that.
It's like the Bears. Did you guys see the map for the Bears Raiders game? The Spiro Ditas?
It was just us.
It was just us
and just Vegas watching the game.
Did you see what happened the last time the Falcons played? I'm just going to leave that right there.
What?
They played at home against the Commanders and beat them.
I'm guessing no.
Oh, okay. That's right.
And now
the Bills have to go to the ATL.
And the Commanders had like 21 straight possessions without a touchdown or something.
Welcome to Atlanta where the play is playing.
I don't know why I watch it. I was like, this is something I should do today. Like, just laziness forced me to watch that game.
That's hilarious.
I think the Falcons will run the ball on the Bills tonight. Write that down.
I love, like, watching a random game that I have absolutely no interest in, like, rooting-wise, financially, whatever. I love doing that.
Low stress, is that what it is?
Like, just me and my sports observations.
That's nice. Right, where you're not moved by anything except for what's on the pictures.
I just want to see ball. Like, that's it.
Yep. So my answer is also Tyreek Stevenson, and I will add to it not just the redemption thing, because I just want him to have a good game.
Sweep the leg!
They're without their two starting wide receivers. They're without Scary Terry. Noah Brown is not playing in this game, so I think he's got a pretty good chance to have a nice game. So, Tyreek Stevenson.
We just don't know what's happening with Debo either.
And Debo's questionable. I think I feel like everything that I've heard coming out of DC is that he's going to give it a try, but I don't know.
Number five.
Last question here. Five on it. Rahimi, Harris, and Grody. College football. Did anyone have Bill Belichick outlasting James Franklin in the 2025 college football season?
I asked this question because I can't believe it. I cannot believe.
Can't believe it.
I can't believe it. I mean, once it happened, congratulations, Northwestern. Way to wreck some shop. If you can't win, beat the teams who want to win. Then you end up winning and everybody wins except that team you lost or that lost to you. You feel me? Also an old Chinese proverb. The point is, if you can't win consistently, mess up somebody's day who wants to. And that's exactly what happened. Northwestern's beating Penn State offended their sensibilities.
Congratulations, Northwestern.
And so much so that Penn State had to fire James Franklin. But you know what I've also learned here? Just like what we think is going to happen to Bill Belichick, the best way to secure any bag legally, by my count, is to do this thing where you get hired as a football coach for a major school and then you get fired. The buyouts are as follows. Kirby Smart, Georgia, $118 million. Lincoln Riley, USC, $90 million. Kalen DeBoer at Alabama, $70 million. All those listeners to Feinbaum who want to fire him, well, you might have to be the ones paying up. Steve Sarkisian at Texas, $64 million. Mike Norvell at Florida State, $63 million. Brian Kelly at LSU and his family, $62 million. You see what I'm trying to say here. By the way, the Matt Rhule buyout at Nebraska, $56.28 million. So if the Penn State boosters want him, they're going to have to pay a lot of money to go get him.
It'd be a $100 million higher when you factor in the Franklin buyout versus the actual buyout to get, you know, the young Matt Rhule.
Because also, the James Franklin buyout is $56.66 million.
I'll say this. You know how I knew that Oregon losing to Indiana wasn't a big deal? Because I went back and I looked at Penn State losing three games in a row. They had beaten Nevada, Florida International, and Villanova. That's how they got to 3-0. Their fourth game was against Villanova. Oregon, and they lost to Oregon in double overtime. So if Oregon can't handle Penn State in regulation and only win in double overtime, maybe Oregon's not for real. Because then they lost at UCLA, which had already fired its head coach. And of course, we saw what happened against Northwestern. And I was like, yeah, James Franklin's time is up because this is very Mike Gundy-esque. Like, we're happy for the things that you did for us, but you ain't the guy for right here, right now.
And there's no way, guys, that North Carolina was, and I know there's still season to go. You're not going to admit to that failure six games into the season, are you? I mean, maybe he's not there after this year, but isn't that just gigantic fail if they were to let Bill Belichick go in the season?
Here's the issue, though, is time and the way the transfer portal keeps changing and NIL, you have to get ahead of it. Mm. Like, if you want to make any decision, you've got to be ahead of whatever that cycle is so you can get the next guy, so you can figure out who's going to be on your team.
The only other thing I'll say is back to the Bulls, if I can, really quick. Just one other nugget from last night. It's Noah Asenge, not Essengay.
Yes, I also picked that up.
Did you?
Yes.
Did you notice that?
As somebody who studied French, if there's no accent over that last E, it's probably Essang. But, you know, I don't know how deep into it we
Why you
got to
make this difficult, Layla? Also, I just said it's Essengay.
But that's the point. We are all trying to figure it out together.
But no, I heard the PA guy.
Yes.
Tim Sinclair?
Who I trust saying Essengay.
Bill Belichick, by the way, his wins this season, 2-3, Charlotte and Richmond. That's all I got for
the
you.
The Spiders? Not the
yes,
Spiders.
The Spiders. The 49ers and the Spiders. Not those 49ers. The Charlotte ones.
Dark horse. Hey, dark horse. Montez Sweat. We'll hear from Sweaty a little bit later. I talked to Sweaty in the locker room.
I can't have that be his nickname.
Okay. I talked to Montez Sweat in
the
locker room.
He's not one of the
dwarfs. Isn't Tez his actual nickname, or did we just make that up?
Well, do you remember when he first came to the Bears, Tez Effect was hot. We don't talk about the Tez Effect a little bit. I'll ask him about it, though,
a
little
bit later. You know who might want to talk about it with us?
Who?
The man who we all love doing play-by-play of everything. Kevin Harlan. Nice. Kevin Harlan is on the call tonight for Westwood One alongside Ross Tucker. So let's talk to him about Bears, Commanders, anything else. What happens if somebody storms the field? He's got you. That's next on Raheem Harris and Grody on.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Caleb Williams, arms outstretched, shotgun snap. They rush four, moves up, now backpedals, now moves out of the pocket, gets a block, 15, far sideline, 10, Williams to the 5, dives to the pylon, and that is a Chicago touchdown. What a try to begin the season for the Chicago Bears, and their quarterback, a 9-yard touchdown run, Caleb Williams.
That is courtesy of Westwood One. That was the game against the Vikings, and Kevin Harlan was on the call. Kevin will be calling the game for Westwood One tonight alongside analyst Ross Tucker. He also paints pictures regardless of whether or not it's actually a play on the field. He'll tell you what's happening on the field if somebody's run on there. He'll tell you about the interesting things going on in a game, and he'll do it all with the same enthusiasm. It's why we love him. Kevin Harlan, thanks so much for joining Raheem Harris and Grody on 670 The Score.
Thanks for having me on. Good to hear your voices, and good to join you on this Monday.
Kevin, I know this is the second time you've seen the Bears up close and personal on a Monday night situation. What have you learned about the difference between maybe this team now compared to what you saw to start the season?
Well, it just seems like the quarterback is in a better situation overall. It seems like there is a plan, a cohesiveness. I mean, get some guys back on defense tonight, which is going to help. They're 2-2, and we've just seen them in the month of September, and I don't know that we really have a good read on these teams until we get to right about now, mid-October. And this is a team coming off a bye, and they've had a chance to win a couple games in a row. They enter the bye feeling good about themselves. They take on a team that was kind of a turning point for them a year ago when they were 4-2 and came to this stadium and lost on that weird play at the end, and then lost 10 consecutive games or 11 consecutive games, and the season kind of got out of hand. I don't sense that this team is like that this year. The overall feel you get from afar, and I'm not there at practice, and we've not talked to the coaches yet, and we've not seen every one of the games, but the feeling I get is that everything is connected, and there are no divisions. It is basically everybody holding onto the rope and pulling in the right direction, and of course, everything begins with the quarterback. As you see, you lose your quarterback, you're going to be rudderless, and they're hoping that this combination of Ben Johnson and Caleb is gonna produce, you know, a winning season. So I think they've got the right voice in his head. I think they've got the right parts around him. They got to run the ball better. That's a quarterback's best friend. But overall, 2-2 through the first month, I think they'd probably take that with a new coach and a new feel.
Yeah, no doubt. We actually were talking about this, Kevin, that we look at this game because, as you mentioned, because of the bye week is an inflection point for Ben Johnson. Like tomorrow, maybe we can evaluate him just a little bit more because he's been very transparent about the issues that the Bears have. So good point by you. I want to take it a little bit more general, too. This is a hell of a game that you guys are going to get to call. Obviously, the rematch of what went down last year with Tyreek Stevenson. You've got Jaden Daniels about Caleb Williams. How do you look at this game in general with all the different storylines?
Well, you mentioned Tyreek, and I think that, you know, he took a pretty good pounding last year with what happened when these two teams met last time. But I think he's come out on a very positive way. He has said publicly he's learned from it. He's better because of it. I think his play reflects it. It has been one of the feel-good stories out of what was a pretty clumsy situation. But overall, I kind of feel like it comes down to these quarterbacks. And tonight, Washington is without their two top receivers. They can run the ball, we know that, but they're beat up. And the Bears certainly have not had a chance to get everything organized on offense. The left tackle continues to be a kind of a revolving position. We're going to see a kid making his second start in the NFL there tonight,
yep,
which is going to be great. And he's going to face some pretty good defensive pressure. This is a defensive pressure team that they've got, right, I think a top five quarterback pressure number right now. So they definitely will be aiming it at a young guy on that left tackle position. But they must feel pretty confident. A veteran's going to sit and this kid's going to play. And I'm anxious to see him go. But it's going to come down to the quarterbacks, right? It always does. And we've got the two top picks in the 24 draft. One guy won the Heisman. The other guy won the, you know, like we've got, you can start drawing the parallels between the two of them. And while one had a more successful rookie season, was the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year, I think there's enough with Caleb right now that makes you feel that, you know what, now with the right voice, the right coaching, the right direction, the right kind of playbook, playing to his strengths, the self-scouting that happened during the bye week, I'd like to think we're going to see a noticeable leap. You just played that highlight from the first series of the season for the team at Soldier Field. They looked like, that was incredible. That was an unbelievable series. It's been tough to replicate, but at least they've got something on tape. At least they've got kind of a blueprint, and I'd like to think that is something they're going to grasp onto even more as they go into this next, 13-game stretch nonstop that they're going to be on. The bye came early,
yeah,
but I think actually for them, not too bad. 500, 2-2 in a division right now, which saw Detroit lose last night. Green Bay's 3-1-1. A win tonight for the Bears puts them right where they want to be, and I think there's every reason to think that if they play their kind of game and don't let things get out of hand, that they could have that victory and have that third victory.
We're talking to Westwood One play-by-play man Kevin Harlan. He's got the call on Westwood One tonight of the Bears and Commanders. He joins us via the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. What has been your impression? Because you did get to see that first drive, as we all did. New viewers of the Bears when it comes to Ben Johnson now at the helm. What has been your impression of just the contrast that you've seen out of this Bears team with Johnson as the head coach, whether it's in communications that you receive, the info that you get in your job where you're doing this, for example, calling tonight's game, or just as somebody who observes so many NFL games?
He comes from the kind of culture that the Bears want to grasp onto, which is a reinforced, communicative. There's a plan in place. There is a standard that needs to be set. And, you know, Ben was pursued heavily by Washington and decided to stay another year with Detroit. And I applaud him for that, because there have been head coaching offers that have come along during his rise as coordinator with the Lions. But he chose what he felt was the kind of situation and the kind of organization that he could really put his fingerprints on. So everything is still so early, and you need to let the thing breathe. At the same time, they are 2-2. They've got some parts they like, and I think they feel like, you know, overall, they've made the jump from what was a pretty disastrous run under Eberflus to what it is now. I think now you just kind of let the thing settle and just gain traction, and that's a hard thing for a fan, like a Bears fan in particular, that has waited so long, been so patient, continued to support, leaving frustrated. But with all that said, I think that the right parts are in place. Now, defensively, it's been a wreck, right? I mean, and Dennis Allen is a respected defensive guy when he takes this job with the Bears. Whether he's got the personnel to run what he wants, whether he's dealing with the two injuries, but he is going to get Kyler back tonight, which is going to be Greg Gordon's going to come back. They're going to get TJ back. That's going to help him. They're going to miss Grady tonight, and that's unfortunate. But this team defensively has got to give support to the offense. And when you read the term complementary football, it's real. That is a real thing. And if one side is letting the other down, the pressure builds, and a lot of times the performance is not what you want to see on the deficient side. So that defense has got to show some strides. They're missing their best cornerback, and he's on IR, and we know that story. But this team, I think, kind of feels like they can make some real headway in these next 13 games defensively. And I would guarantee you that if they do, the offense will benefit as much as the defense would. The offense would benefit from a stout defense, one that they can, you know, truly, you know, build a game plan around. But when one side's trying to carry the other, it is very tough. Now, tonight, Washington is going to run the ball. They do it well. Running quarterback amongst the best we've seen as an early quarterback in this league, throwing and running, and he'll test them tonight. And so maybe even more curious than how the two quarterbacks come out to play, I'm anxious to see how the Bears defense comes out and handles this, knowing that the two receivers are out. You pretty much know what Washington is going to do. They're going to run it and run it hard. And how do the Bears defensively respond to that tonight after the bye, after the self-scouting, and after the chance to get a couple of regulars back in their lineup?
Kevin Harlan, thank you so much for joining us. And we understand congratulations are in order. Your daughter Olivia and husband Sam just had their second child.
They did, yeah. Number 7 for us as a family. So we're keeping track. We've got 3 girls, and they are living their best lives. And our one daughter, you mentioned her, Olivia. She's overseas with her husband, and we just had our third boy. We've got 4 granddaughters. And count our blessings every day. But thank you for mentioning that.
Well, of course, congratulations to Kevin and Olivia. I know Olivia used to do a lot of work on TV, too, in sports, so we're familiar with her. And I can't wait until they're old enough to form a 7-on-7 team and you can do the play-by-play.
Well, I'll be the quarterback. I'll be ready to go. Thank you.
Kevin, you know we love any time something outside of the normal scope of the game happens. You're the best when it comes to play-by-play of life.
Well, let's get some animals and some drunks on the field.
I like that, the combination of animals and drunks on the field.
If there is a cat on the field, I know exactly who I'm turning to.
You know
to.
What? We're sending Marshall Harris to D.C. to run on the field tonight.
Come on, Marshall. Nah. Bring it home, baby. We're ready for you.
He's the one that would do it. There's no doubt about it.
Out of the 3 of us, you're probably right.
I just need you. I sometimes wonder if you're just like sitting in your car or something and you see somebody walking in, or you're like, and they're walking into a grocery store. They're going to take the groceries home. You're the best. I can't even do the impression.
Well, no, because my wife is usually sitting in the co-pilot seat over there, and she says, you know, I think we've all heard you talk enough. Let's have some quiet time.
He's taking his shirt off.
We have not. If you need to vent to somebody or you need to get these calls out somewhere, please let us be your place.
Oh, my goodness.
You got it. You got it.
Thanks,
I'm in.
Man.
I'm in. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kevin.
Tell
Mitch
that
I
love being on your station. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Well, we love having you on, and congratulations again to you and Sam and Olivia and the family.
All your girls. All those girls. Good luck.
Thank you. I know it. Thank you very much.
I love how Grody volunteered me as tribute. Thanks so much, Kevin.
When he said, get out there, Marshall, I felt like I was in a game. I felt like I was in a game. We've got to use that for something. Robbie, I know you're already cooking something up, aren't you?
Right.
And Tanny's sitting in the background, and I saw Tanny laughing. This is where the magic happens.
Bro, by the way, I know we got NFL to talk about, but I just saw this, that Kyle Hendricks might be retiring, might be announcing his retirement. How
is
about
it
that?
Wrong that I already thought that was happening?
I mean,
there were whispers.
Remember,
remember when we had Crane Kenny on, and Crane Kenny said on the radio, I've been talking to Kyle Hendricks, as in maybe he becomes an ambassador. Maybe he comes back to the Cubs in some way, shape, or form. So, and nothing is official yet. This is from John Heyman, that Kyle Hendricks is expected to retire. That's per the New York Post Sports. They have learned that, according to this tweet here, which I'm reading clumsily.
John Heyman. John Heyman.
I can't believe it! Yes, John Heyman. Yes.
I want Kevin Harlan to encourage you to do things now in his play.
Can't even believe it.
What is that from?
Oh man, you got to go down the Twitter sphere, but it's the best crash out I've seen in a while.
I would not have a problem with us playing that for Layla at some point in time in this show today. Can we do that?
I mean, we could do it next. We also got to talk about the NFC North, but Kevin Harlan, because he is so good at his job, also talked about it too. So I feel like we're not taking any time away from that topic.
Let's do it.
All right. That and what we learned about the NFC North next on The Score.
Can't even believe it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. That was so much fun to talk to Kevin Harlan. That man's awesome. So we are happy to do so. If you missed it, you can go to the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app and you can check it out. We talked about the Bears at 10 and 10:20, then got into Cubs at 10:45 and 11, and now we're here.
What? Why are you shaking your head?
Because when she said that, it reminded me that you volunteered me to go out and run on the field and get arrested.
Oh,
and
that's right.
Have to spend a night in jail.
Let's be honest. Like, of all of us here,
why is it just one night?
I think it's Robbie. I think Robbie's the most obvious candidate.
I'd be down.
Yeah.
Would you guys pay the fine?
No.
How much is it?
That's right.
It's probably several $1,000s.
Let's do it.
Imagine.
The first and then Harrison Grody bit.
Mitch, can you get that?
And you'd have to continue the bit, Marshall, because your one call would have to wait to be in the window between 10 and 2 Central Time to us.
We're putting this show on the map, man. You know
Robbie
how we're doing
DC.
It? This show's getting arrested.
This is such an antiquated, like, this is in the era of the Jerky Boys, the radio bit like
What's
this.
What's that?
One of the great radio bits that occurred at The Score, there was a gentleman who I call a friend that used to work here. His name was Nick Shepkowski. He used to be Sheppy Shep. What up, Shep? What up, Ash? Talking to y'all. He had to, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, somebody can correct me on this. Ray, you got to help me out with this. Didn't he wear like a thong down Michigan Avenue? Like,
oh,
right?
God.
Yeah,
like,
I think that sounds.
Down Lake Street near Michigan.
That sounds
Why?
About right.
Yeah, something that Mac probably made him do would be my guess. Mac was weird like that. He had him. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
the Mac era.
Yeah, that's a very Mac thing to do to want to see Shep with less clothes, huh?
Wow.
That was a thing that happened.
The way you just
for
said
the content,
the look on your faces, you
guys the fact I had to look thong up in our system.
Look it up. Nick Shepkowski.
It's not there, but
thong, the thong, thong, thong. Cisco.
Let me see that.
Thong, the thong,
you
thong, thong.
You want
to see? No, you no, get on baseball. Stop playing in a garbage.
Somebody texted in and said they keep like hearing that in their head and laughing about it. That the failed bit was not so failed after all, out of Carl in Antioch.
We sent it to New York. We reviewed the audio, and it turned out it was a good, hilarious, not hilarious call.
That happens. That does happen.
It happened.
I originally brought up this segment to ask what I felt like we've learned about the division this week. And I think that Marshall is excited. You're excited about tonight's game because of what we learned about the division this week.
He also said during the break, guys, don't worry. The Bears are going to win. Without backing it up, just said the Bears. He just all of a sudden he got this feeling, this aura.
No, I've had the feeling all day. We just haven't gotten – I realized during the break that we didn't designate a segment to make predictions.
Oh, you want to do it right now?
We can do it right now.
Go ahead, Marshall.
Also, the Lions Tell us why the Bears are going to win. That first touchdown play not being a touchdown was a buzzkill. Then they lost, boo.
Buzz killing.
Every time I see the Green Bay Packers on the field, I lament the fact that the Dallas Cowboys could not find a way to win the game.
As do I.
Because that just would change this entire context of how we look at the division. If they were 3-2 instead of 3-1-1.
Yeah.
It's bad.
And Detroit, even though they lost, they are still 4-2. Minnesota on the bye, right? No game. No game for them? Am I missing?
Unless they're playing later tonight. Are you saying the division is not as strong as we thought it was?
I'm saying the entire NFL is not as orderly as we thought it might have been.
I agree with that.
And I think that, you know, we could start with the 1-5 Ravens and we can work our ways to Mark Grody's very much just emotional and illogical idea that the Pittsburgh Steelers were not going to be good.
Yeah. The Jaguars are 4-2.
The Jaguars are 4-2.
A lot of season to go. My God, do narratives change in the NFL? Like what you see in the beginning is often not what you see in the end of the season.
And maybe that was the rarity in that we expected that division was going to be really good last year, and it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Minnesota's not really doing that. Like, I can't call it on Minnesota.
Well, I think Carson Wentz is like the perfect guy to have as the backup that may never relinquish the backup role this season if we're being honest about J.J. McCarthy's play.
I don't think he gets benched if he's having or if he's healthy. I don't think J.J.'s benched.
But he could be Wally Pipped.
That coach you think would give up on a cheap rookie contract quarterback?
I'm not saying give up. Just delay it because...
I don't know about that. Kevin O'Connell, man.
What
like,
did Atlanta
that's,
do when
that's
they went to Minnesota?
Up.
Wait, the same team that she doesn't want to see tonight, she has no interest in watching tonight. What did the Falcons do when they went to Minnesota? They destroyed them. They destroyed the Vikings. And I think Carson Wentz in place gives them a much higher baseline than J.J. McCarthy does for the rest of the season. Hey, I'm praying for J.J. McCarthy to get back in there and do his thing.
I think all they wanted is for J.J. McCarthy to be healthy. If that was the plan all along or the possibility, then they would have kept Sam Darnold. They would have had to pay him.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I think if that were the case where for a second year they didn't think that they had the dude... knowing what the risk was going to be for the reward later this season,
it's a waste.
I think they would have done more to try to keep Sam Darnold.
I'm not saying that Carson Wentz is the answer in Minnesota. I'm just saying him playing right now alleviates having to go through some growing pains that whenever he does start to play games, J.J. McCarthy, several in a row, he's going to have to go through more growing pains, and I think that's going to be a thing that keeps the Minnesota Vikings from being able to contend for a playoff spot. But overall, what I learned this past week is that, one, maybe it says more about the Kansas City Chiefs than it does the Detroit Lions, what happened yesterday.
That's the thing. We are, you know, I proclaimed it. I felt like this has been my formula in the AFC now for many years, and perhaps that because it's been for many years, that's why it's flawed. But you know what my formula is? Ravens, Chiefs, and Bills. Well, Chiefs and Ravens are not holding up the end of the bargain. We knew it was only a matter of time for the Chiefs, right? People thought this at this time last year, that we were starting to see the decline. They still ended up making it to a Super Bowl. The other part of this that I think breaks everybody's brains a little bit is the 17-game season. A lot of the historical reliance that we have on stats, you can't rely on them as much because 0-2 is not as bad. 0-2 is not as bad historically in the NFL as it used to be, for example. And I feel the same way about your record. Like, we are looking at a Ravens team that, yes, is only got one win to its record. You know, it's outrageous to me that they're 1-5. But do you think they're completely out of the playoffs yet? I don't. Because that's how the modern NFL is now.
I'll tell you this. If they lose that next game, two things will be true.
Yeah, the cliff is steep and quick, but you're not off of it yet.
You know who they play next, right?
I hadn't looked at the schedule. Oh, well, it's
that
the Bears.
That would be your Chicago Bears.
I was like, wait a second, it's the Bears.
Yeah. So if they
and
lose that game.
And that's at home for them.
Yeah. But, you know, and everybody expects Lamar Jackson to be good because of the bye week. Mm. But I think if the Bears win tonight.
But you're right. Like, when we don't know who the Ravens are, we don't necessarily know who the Chiefs are. we're trying to see who's taking their place. You know, we're seeing a Bucks team, I think, get a lot of credit now on the NFC side. Like, this is changing a bit from what we know it to be.
Read that breaking news sounder real quick.
Breaking news on the score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories.
Ian Rappaport.
What you got?
Says sources, after a brutal start to the season, the Titans have fired Coach Brian Callahan.
Uh-oh. Ryan Porth.
Where's Porth?
Sorry, Porth.
Porth.
Our resident Titans fan.
I can't believe it.
I can believe it.
Can't believe it.
The Raiders kind of just took them out back.
So we did hear
down.
It after all. Callahan was 4-19 as the Titans head coach.
Is that bad?
It doesn't sound good.
Huh.
Yeah. Callie's out. That's it.
1-5 this season. We're the
Callie.
Titans.
Callie. Going back to Callie.
And remember how they won their one game at Arizona?
I don't think so.
Going back to Callie? No one's going back to
back
Callie,
to
are
Callie.
They?
Back to Callie. Back to Callie.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's actually, yo, I don't think so.
Yo,
let's,
I don't
let's
think
do
so.
Let's do it right.
Don't give Mark too many lyrics.
No, don't. No, that's why I was like, I was pointing to Layla. You
he
do
did,
it.
He did one recently that was also patently incorrect. What was it?
During the break?
Oh, you said bring in the clowns.
Oh, yeah. Bring in the clowns.
Send.
Oh, wait, hold on. Send them in. Don't bring them in. Send them in.
There's like four words and you got one of them wrong.
I did.
It's okay.
No, goodness. You know what? He doesn't get wrong. You know what the man nails every single time?
Ripping your pillow down.
That too. But you know what else he does correct? And you don't doubt him ever when he goes to Hallis Hall. Let's go inside the locker room. Let's hear from Ben Johnson. We do it next with Raheem Harris and Grody on the score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.